darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated. Y'all know what it is. The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do it with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, understanding that worship is a lifestyle. It is not limited to any particular activity. Worship is, in fact, a lifestyle. The pinnacle of the lifestyle of worship is obedience. This is something I say repeatedly because it should be repeated. The pinnacle of the lifestyle of worship is obedience. If we view worship limited to particular activities, if we think melodious offerings, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. If we limit it to that, we'll miss the whole boat. Too many of us, frankly, we're willing to sing but not willing to live. We'll sing unto the Lord a new song and live lives of rebellion. That dog don't hunt. Worship is a lifestyle, and the pinnacle of that lifestyle is obedience. I stress what I do about the family because the family is central to God's plan for his kingdom. His kingdom is established in the hearts and minds of people. And we, who are the benefactors of eternal life, but we are engaged in our temporal engagement, we have to understand that it is a purposeful temporal assignment. And when we understand that, it will frame for us appropriately how we are supposed to use this time that God has given us. So at this very moment, as many of you, if not most of you, are making your transitions from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome, resolve it in your heart now. Understand what you have the opportunity to do. You have an opportunity to agree with the eternal King of glory. You know, when we stop and consider that what we have in the Word of God is, in fact, say it slowly, the Word of God, it demands respect. It demands a response because he demands respect. And he demands a response. To the Word of God we go. And this is going to be another one of those moments where refusal to embrace God's Word is not only detrimental, it can destroy you. We reject God's word to our own peril. And much of what has transpired in American society is perilous rejection of God's word. We're going to begin the program today in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to focus specifically on verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. If you're familiar with this text, again, this is the Deuterocanonical expression, Moses preparing the second generation of wilderness Israelites for life in the promised land. And he comes to this portion of the books of Moses. And the Lord lays out in this chapter what will transpire if the people of Israel embrace his instruction or if they reject it. You know, the chapter begins in verse 1. Now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. He then goes on through verses 2 until about 14, explaining these are the things you can expect. These are the blessings you can expect if you comply with what the Lord requires of you. These will be the Hebrew writer would describe them as the peaceable fruit that follows obedience. And then he warns, starting at verse 15, however, if you do not comply, if you do not obey, these are all the disastrous things you can expect to happen to you as a nation. As a nation. Right in the middle of all of these things, as the Lord is explaining, these are the blessings you can expect if you walk uprightly before me. He makes this statement in verse 12. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And then look at this. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. This is one of those moments where you have people that attempt to assert some notion of political ideology, but we need to do so separated from, diverging away from any notion of biblical fidelity, any notion of submission to the Lordship of Christ, any notion of the wisdom provided us by the Lord. It's a fool's errand. God reveals right in his word that one of the indicators, one of the indicia of blessing for his people would be that they would be positioned in such a way where they would be able to lend to many nations and would borrow from none. The same thing is said in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Look at verse 6. My pages will turn for me. Deuteronomy 15, verse 6. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. And you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. Isn't it amazing? Then in chapter 28, the Lord connects one of the evidences, if you will, of his blessing upon his nation, upon his people in their nation, was that they would be able to lend to many nations, but they would borrow from none. Here the Lord connects the debt-free posture of his people as not only being an indication that they will be blessed, but also it's an indication that they will have a powerful position vis-a-vis other nations. Now let's stop for a moment and look at where we are today. You can pull up, we have websites like the U.S. National Debt Clock, where we're at the place right now where we are $36 trillion in debt, and that is the debt amount provided by the Office of Management and Budget that does not include unfunded liabilities like major welfare programs. They're not included in that tabulation. When you include those numbers in it, the numbers exceed the $36-plus trillion already in debt. You survey America's history, it took us over 200 years to get to where we had $12 trillion in debt. We accumulated about $12 trillion in debt the last administration and a half. And I want to be clear about this as well. This spending narcotic that we've been on in our nation is a bipartisan project. When was the last time you heard any elected officials explain with a conviction the necessity of getting out of debt, to minimizing debt, to curbing spending? And let me be clear about this as well. It has been a bipartisan project by both Republicans and Democrats because, by and large, the American people have established an expectation and a comfort level with being in debt, to almost where in many circles you start talking about national debt, We've been talking about fear-mongering and all of these years. You know, you can call me a curmudgeon. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But a nation being in debt is a formula for destruction. I'm going to go into some things later on in the program. We have about maybe at most, and this is being very, very generous to our nation, 20 years before we reach the place of no return. What do we do? There was a movement that God, by his grace, allowed our nation to enjoy, the Tea Party movement. It became popular because a lot of American citizens recognized how disastrous the debt was for our country. But the Tea Party movement was snuffed out by a bipartisan effort. Do I need to walk through the history of people like Karl Rove opposing Tea Party candidates? And it's no doubt the Biden administration set the inflation nozzle on fire. But make no mistake about it, the rampant spending started before that. I was one of the few people crying out in the wilderness during the Shmovid debacle. Hey, why are we doing these indiscriminate bailout payments? Is this not what we have unemployment insurance for? And I get it, but it's been an unholy alliance, if you will. The American citizens privately have debt addictions, which make it, if individuals are in debt to their eyeballs, when they hear about how much the government is in debt, it's like, well, you know, the government is kind of like we are. Then we keep going along, kick the can down the street, keep going along. You know, you have, you know, Barack Hussein Obama. These banks too big to fail. Too big to fail? Why am I pointing this out? I'm pointing this out because God is wise. He is infinitely wise. He identified a nation being fiscally positioned to lend to others without having to borrow was evidence of his blessing, first and foremost. A position of power vis-a-vis other nations. We now have economists that will tell you, it's kind of not a good idea for us to be in debt as we are. We can't keep doing it the way we're doing it. We can't keep doing it the way we're doing it. We can't keep doing it the way we're doing it. But by and large, who does anything about it? We have people talking a big game. Send another 50, 100 billion to Ukraine. Who's counting? Lord, guys, the Lord is wise. And here's another truth. God will not be mocked. We cannot continue to thumb our nose in God's face and expect to advance. You know, a lot of people say this, the American economy is the envy of the world, and that very well may be true. But if everybody's in the sludge, the one that is not as deep in the sludge as everybody else, it's probably the envy of everybody else in the sludge. But that don't mean you're out of the sludge. Having the trajectory that we're on, and I'm saying this now, because among the things, and I'm grateful for the conversations about, you know, Department of Government Efficiency and all of these things. But can I tell you something? I'm kind of from the position, why do we have to have individual citizens who are not constitutionally mandated to look over these things to step in to do what our elected officials refuse to do? Then I'll throw this one in on you. Proverbs 22 says the borrower is a slave to the lender. Who is it that's holding our debt? Guys, this is something that we cannot afford to ignore, is what I'm saying. And among the things that the citizenry must demand is fiscal sanity. You want to talk about securing the blessings of liberties to ourselves and to our posterity. How can we do that if we laden our posterity with outsized debt? Can't happen.
K Can you be gay and Christian? What if you genuinely feel like you're trapped in the wrong body? Did God make you this way? Is change even possible?
Dr. Michael Brown.
Countless people ask me these very same questions, some of them quite desperate, many of them in tears.
Would you be ready to give a godly answer?
Each one represents a person or family member or loved one who's struggling deeply with their core identity.
Satan wants to deceive and destroy God's truth.
So we know that what this gay affirming agenda within the church is doing is it's fragmenting scripture, it's dumbing down the Bible.
And infiltrate the church with his lies. In his image, clearly and compassionately presents God's truth through Bible teaching, science, and the testimonies of those who know both sides.
My dad walked in the door and he said, Denise, I want to talk with you. And the first words out of his mouth were, I want to become a woman.
Get the 2-DVD set at resources.afa.net. resources.afa.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I mean, we are reaching the place to where our national debt, the interest on our debt, is about to start rivaling our defense budget, being the exact same amount, you know. And I'm gonna share this with you, just to show just an example of the egregious nature of what we're facing. So, and this is gonna be a little bit longer clip, but it's important. That's why it's gonna be so long. So, Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks, who took the position, was confirmed by the United States Senate and became functional in that role in 2021. So this is Biden-Harris and them's pick for the Deputy Defense Secretary. And she's not having a hard-hitting conversation with a journalist. She's talking to a comedian. And the comedian, just John Stewart is the comedian. And he's like, okay, so the U.S. Pentagon has failed 7 consecutive audits. 7 consecutive audits. And John Stewart offered a very simple proposition in light of that. Like, this is evidence of fraud, if you ask me. Evidence of corruption is what he said. Evidence of corruption and waste, if you ask me. Kathleen Hicks had the audacity to say, uh-oh. See, you don't really understand what an audit is. Let me explain it to you. Let me break it down for you, my man, because you don't really understand what an audit is. And I want you to hear both her tone and tenor and the words she says. And for those of you who are watching, I want you to view her demeanor as she casually and smugly condescends to John Stewart, and her description. See, what you don't get, see, all the audit does, it shows that we don't know where the stuff is that we supposedly spent the money on. And she thought that was it. She thought that was the mic drop moment. You see, you don't underdig what an audit is, my man. That's your problem. You are too infantile in your mental capacity to pick up what I'm putting down here. I want y'all to check this out. This is clip number one, Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks saying 7 failed audits isn't evidence of waste, fraud, and abuse. Clip number one, go.
To be doing, like, there is a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse within a system.
Audits and waste, fraud, and abuse are not the same thing. So let's decompose
then
these pieces.
Please educate me on
sure.
What
so
the,
an audit is exactly what you just described,
yes.
Which is, do I know what was delivered to which place?
Right.
The ability to pass an audit or the fact that the DOD has not passed an audit is not suggestive of waste, fraud, and abuse. That is completely false right there. So
what is
now is a question
of
it's suggestive that we don't have an accurate inventory that we can pull up of what we have where. That is not the same as saying we can't do that because waste, fraud, and abuse has occurred.
So in my world,
yeah,
that's waste.
How is that waste?
If I give you $1 billion and you can't tell me what happened to it, that to me is wasteful. That means you are not responsible. But if you can't tell me where it went, then what am I supposed to think? And when there has been reporting, I mean, this is not, look, I'm not saying this is on you and that you caused this, but I think it's a tough argument to
I'm
make
sure
that
I didn't cause it.
an $850 billion budget to an organization that can't pass an audit and tell you where that money went, like, I think most people would consider that somewhere in the realm of waste, fraud, or abuse, because they would wonder why that money isn't well accounted for. And especially when they see food insecurity on military bases, and they see...
You want to talk about that? Because that's a good... We should be talking... I mean, well, I'm trying all, to understand is, where you're trying to go, other than the dollars, which really
well,
bother you.
I think it doesn't really bother me. I think it's all connected.
Okay.
I think
tell
when
me,
I
tell
look,
me that story. Tell me how you're thinking
well,
about that.
Well, when I see a State Department get a certain amount of money and a military budget be 10 times that, and I see a struggle within government to get people like more basic services, and then that department that got that, I mean, we got out of 20 years of war and the Pentagon got a $50 billion raise. Like, that's shocking to me. Now, I may not understand exactly the ins and outs and the incredible magic of an audit, but I'm a human being who lives on the earth and can't figure out how $850 billion to a department means that the rank and file still have to be on food stamps. Like, to me, that's corruption. I'm sorry. And if that blows your mind, and if you think like that's like a crazy agenda for me to have, I really think that that's institutional thinking, and that it's not looking at the day-to-day reality of the people that you call the greatest fighting force in the world. So I get back to this idea of like, I'm not looking to pick a fight with you, but I am surprised at that the reaction to these questions are, you don't know what an audit is, bucko. Like, that's just weird to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Enter Pete Hegseth. Enter Pete Hegseth. When he says that is institutional thinking, this is why President Trump nominates Pete Hegseth, because this is the mind meld of the people in this defense industrial complex. She thinks it's chuckle-worthy. Chuckle-worthy. $850 billion of American taxpayer dollars. And I want to remind you guys that that is an annual budgetary amount. An annual allocation. You seem to be so caught up in the dollars. Why does that bother you so much? $850 billion. Now, I understand in the grand scheme of, you know, annual revenue generation, or should I say revenue taken in by the federal government exceeds, you know, several trillion dollars. I get that. But $850 billion every year adds up very quickly. And you mean to tell me you are the deputy defense secretary and you are cool with coming out in public being recorded as saying our inability to account for the $850 billion that the American taxpayers have provided us is not evidence of corruption. It's not evidence of waste. It's not evidence of abuse. Try to have a private company that fails 7 consecutive audits. So understand what that means. She's saying, you don't understand what an audit is. Okay, whatever it is, I don't understand. Clearly, the Department of Defense don't understand it for at least the last 7 times it's been done. And you want to stand there with straight face and tell the American people nearly $1 trillion a year, and for the last 7 audits, which, by the way, you have to understand, the audit is not something they voluntarily submit to. The audit they submit to is because it's required by law, by congressional statute. If they could get away with not doing an audit, you think they would do an audit? They can't find. It's amazing how things get lost. They can't find $850 billion. The Biden-Harris's can't find 330,000 children. And it's just, shoulder shrug. Shoulder shrug. This is what I'm talking about. And I want to remind everybody that the debt and the spending problem is not a partisan phenomenon. This has been a bipartisan albatross around the neck of our nation. And we cannot continue to kick the can down the street and expect nothing to happen. And for her to chuckle, you seem to be so, it such bothers you so much about the dollars. It bothers me that it doesn't bother you. If him to say, that's not evidence of corruption, because here's the truth, guys. People know where they put money. And also people know when they put money in places that they don't want tracked. Where's the money going? And we ain't talking about 500. We ain't talking about a 20. Man, let me hold a 20. We're talking about $850 billion taxpayer dollars. That's your money and my money. That they, whoops, can't find it. Can't find it. Guys. And she's just a chuckling. Some of the things that are on the horizon for our country, guys. And I mentioned this, and this is according to a couple of economists. That the U.S. has about 20 years for corrective action. After which, no amount of future tax increases. Did you hear what I just said? No amount of future tax increases and no amount of spending cuts will avoid the U.S. defaulting on its debt, whether explicitly or implicitly. Did y'all hear what I just said? This nation, with the economy, that's the envy of the world. We have about 2 decades generously. If we continue along the same trajectory, with spending continuing to go up, there is no amount of tax increases or spending cuts that will prevent us from defaulting on our debt. And according to Moody's Analytics, if the U.S. government defaults on our debt, the blow to our economy will be cataclysmic. The dollar would lose its value. Financial markets will fall, wiping out $10 trillion in household wealth. Jobs, businesses would be lost. Prosperity would plunge. Guys, you want to talk about the end of America. Many of you, like me, watched as the Greeks carrying wheelbarrows of their currency because it's not worth a plug nickel. Venezuelans have hundreds of thousands of dollars of their currency on the streets that's not worth toilet paper. Guys, this is how it happens. This is how it happens. Now, again, they know this. So the question is, why haven't we done anything to address this until now? You know, one of the things that motivates, I guess I'll just play this for you, what's my man's name? Did we add that one, the Elon Musk clip? Is it number 4? Elon Musk, to get involved, was that he saw this. In addition to him suffering, his own sons succumbing to what he called the woke mind virus, the medical establishment transed this man's son, which lit a fire up under him. And he also happens to be a pretty good businessman. Look what he has to say. Clip 4.
We've got this suffocating, massive federal bureaucracy. Government spending is like bankrupting the country. Our interest payments on the national debt now exceed the Defense Department budget. The Defense Department budget is like $1 trillion a year. 23% of all government income, income taxes, tariffs, and everything is just going to pay interest right now. And that number is continually rising. So if we don't do something, the entire government budget will be paying interest. There won't be money for anything. No, there won't be money for Social Security. There won't be money for Medicare, nothing. That's where we're headed. It's like, hello, wake up. Wake up. So we have to cut government spending or we're just going to go bankrupt, just like a person would if that overspends.
Guys, that's a simple reality. We can play, we can kiki, that, you know, that's what they call on the block. You kiki-ing like ain't nothing going on. Guys, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. And it is embarrassing that we have this type of response from Kathleen Hicks all throughout our government officials. We reject godly wisdom to our own peril. God told us the borrower is a slave to the lender. Debt is a destroyer of nations. It's true on the individual level, but we have scriptural guidance for it being true on the national level. So one of the things, in addition to a return, and I'm presenting this in this way intentionally, because I've been talking a lot about the most desperate and enduring need for the American Republic is repentance. One of the things that I believe that God restoring our nation, evidence of God restoring our nation, will be that we have adults back in the places where they can influence things like this, where we recognize, man, we cannot continue spending at the rate that we're spending. But it requires selflessness, because when you have elected officials where the job number one is getting elected and the job number two is getting reelected, you think they're going to come home and tell their constituents, hey, one of the things we need to do is cut back on these spending programs? No, they're not going to do that. Why? Because it's not conducive to them being reelected. So contrary to having statesmen who have a position that is based on objective transcendent truth, and they will attempt to have grown-up conversations and appeal to their constituency to follow in that regard, instead we have politicians that put the finger in the air, see where the wind is blowing, and try to run and get in front of that. Oh, so to keep myself in power, all I got to do is tell these people I'm going to give them more free stuff? Well, how are you going to pay for that free stuff? Who cares how I'm going to pay for the free stuff? If we're going to borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow, well, that's what we'll do. And I want to remind you, we have people like, you know, Mitch McConnell, the turtle. How long has he been in Washington, D.C.? You know, yeah, Mr. Robinette Biden, who's been in Washington, D.C. longer than he was away from Washington, D.C. You dig up old clips of Clarence Thomas's confirmation hearings in the U.S. Supreme Court. You see, Biden is the chair of the Judiciary Committee back then. These people are the ones who have contributed to where we are now at the place to where interest on the national debt rivals the defense budget. Guys, that's a formula for destruction. So it's one of the things that we must look out for. And seeing that government has become institutionally incapable of addressing it, I truly hope that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy from the outside of government can help. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy. Because one thing, if you haven't learned this yet, the swamp fights back. And the swamp tries to fight in anonymity, hiding behind loopholes and omnibus bills and thousands of pages of documents so you can lose $850 billion and go, whoop, I don't know where it is.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. It only took 2 days. The American shadow bosses okayed Ukraine to use long-range missiles that we gave them. Ukraine says, okay, we're going to launch them. So now, as I reported yesterday, the long-range missiles that we provided the U.S. to Ukraine, they've launched them into Russia. And Russia is, of course, not too happy about it. Listen to and watch this brief report. It's clip number two. Clip two. Go.
Breaking this morning, Ukraine has fired U.S.-made long-range missiles into Russia's Bryansk region in a major escalation on the 1,000th day of the war. The attack comes just 2 days after the Biden administration gave Ukraine the green light to use the weapons against targets inside Russia. The White House policy change comes after North Korean troops were deployed to help drive Ukrainian soldiers out of Russia's Kursk border region. Overnight, Russian President Putin signed a new doctrine saying any major aerial attack against Russia could prompt reprisals with nuclear weapons. A spokesperson for Putin says This adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah. This is worrisome. I certainly do not want this to be the case. This very easily could be Rubicon towards World War III. I reassert what I said yesterday. I believe we as the American people are owed an explanation. If Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden is unfit to campaign, how is he fit to occupy the Oval Office? Who specifically gave the instruction, the willingness, the ability for this to happen? It's just sickening watching these things play out in real time before our very eyes. You know, I don't want this to be the truth, but I cannot help but be concerned about the prospect of those who would want to try to hinder President Trump's return to the Oval Office to create a scenario that would bog down the effort that the American people voted for to advance an America First disposition, to advocate for peace around the world through strength, to utilize that. I mean, it's quite sickening to me. It's quite sickening to me. And I implore you all to join me in praying for our nation and praying for the world, that the mercy that God bestowed upon our country, that the efforts of, let's just say it this way, the people who may have other interests would not move us beyond our ability to turn away from the wrong-headed direction our country has been in so that we can reverse course. This is crazy, man. This is crazy. Among other evidences of the craziness, and I know, frankly, I don't care. I know people may, you know, mocked me when I would talk about the election in 2020 being stolen and all of this stuff. But literally, and I checked these numbers, President Trump's voting numbers are right about where they were in 2020. Ain't that something? And, you know, we caught the leprechaun, George Snuffleupagus. You know, two leprechauns, him and Fauci. You know, it wasn't widespread. Well, how far spread is it then, man? Don't you care how, if it's spread, how far is it spread? Right in your very eyes. So many of you know there was a very close election in Pennsylvania Senate race between incumbent Bob Casey and the challenger, the Republican challenger, Dave McCormick. Dave McCormick was up and is still up 17,000-18,000 votes. But because the election was within a half a percent, it triggered an automatic recount. Well, the state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania had already issued a ruling that said that you cannot count illegal ballots. If you have absentee and other mail-in ballots, the signatures are not signed, the dates do not comply with Pennsylvania state law, then these counties cannot count them. Well, Bucks County and Montgomery County and Philadelphia County. I wonder who all runs those counties, Mr. Rosa. I wonder. Bucks County is just north of Pennsylvania. I mean, north of Philadelphia, I'm sorry. Yeah, the tree amigos, you know. Ha, 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 whoo, you know. They literally, and I'm going to show you, they literally, Bucks County, let me show you this. Bucks County, they had an election, not election, they had a county commissioners meeting where they say out loud, we don't care what the law is. We know this is the law, but, you know, we're going to break the law because we want to bring this to the attention of the courts. Really? That's why you're breaking the law? I think you might have other motivations behind you, but I want to give you a little picture of this where you have Democrat commissioners Diane Marsiglia and Bob Harvey literally are in their county commissioners meeting saying, we don't care what the state Supreme Court has said, we are still going to count these illegal votes. It's clip number 3. Listen to and watch it. Clip 3, go.
We reject all three categories of these ballots.
Your motion is to reject or dismiss the challenges in this category in front of you?
Correct, yep.
I'm not going to second that, mostly because I think we all know that precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country, and people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it.
So I want to explain what's going on here. So you have Republican Commissioner Gene DiGirolamo, who is saying, no, we're not going to count these illegal ballots. And he's making a motion to get the county commissioners to refuse to count the illegal ballots that are pursuant to, first of all, Pennsylvania state election law, secondarily to an already issued Pennsylvania State Supreme Court opinion. What you heard in response to that was Commissioner Diane Marsiglia saying, no, I'm going to make a motion to break the law. I don't care what the law is. I'm not going to join you in that motion, sir, because I want to break the law. And then she tries to couch it in political terms. Yes, and I'm going to break the law because I want to present this. I want the courts to take a look at this. Ma'am, that's not why you're breaking the law. And she tried to say it's the court's opinion. No, ma'am. There's a state election code in Pennsylvania. What the state Supreme Court had previously ruled was, hey, we have an election code, and we expect all county commissioners to abide by the election code. Well, why am I presenting this? Because incumbent Democrat U.S. Senator Bob Casey refused to concede the election, was urging county commissioners to include the illegal ballots that led to the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court issuing a 7-0 decision yesterday, directly pointing to Bucks County, which you heard those commissioners, the clip that I just played was from Bucks County, Bucks County, Montgomery County, and Philadelphia County, named them in the opinion by name, and said, you, quote, shall comply with prior rulings of this court in which we have clarified that mail-in and absentee ballots that fail to comply with the requirements of Pennsylvania Election Code shall not be counted for the purposes of the election held on November 5th, 2024, end quote. Hey, but that's not widespread fraud. What did I tell you? In order for the fraud to be effective, it don't have to be widespread. If you have the fraud in, let's say, I don't know, in this instance, three of the most populous counties in the state of Pennsylvania, how would that impact the election? Oh, it could actually throw it. If you extrapolate that out to, you know, 10 of the most populous counties in the country and its impact on the Electoral College, what can be the result? Guys, this is what I'm talking about. Now, thankfully, because of the horrors of 2020, the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court was primed at the ready to respond. Senator-elect McCormick's team was ready because they, in connection with the GOP in the state of Pennsylvania, filed the lawsuit to bring it to the attention of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. But I wanted you to see and hear with your own eyes and ears that you have an elected official publicly going on the record to say, I'm going to defy election law because I want this to go the way that I want it to go. The court's order, in addition to pointing out these three counties, specifically singled out the issue concerning the dates on mail-in ballots, saying, quote, the election code commands absentee and mail-in electors to date the declaration that appears upon ballot return envelopes. And failure to comply with that command renders a ballot invalid as a matter of Pennsylvania law, end quote. When we have people in positions of public trust, because that's what an elected official is, positions of public trust, yet they commit themselves to lawlessness, this is exactly what the prophet Isaiah pointed out in Isaiah chapter 59. Because lawlessness is downstream from a rejection of truth. Truth has fallen in the street. Therefore, justice is turned backward and uprightness cannot enter. Cannot enter. You literally have people saying, man, what? I mean, if a voter fails to date the ballot, why shouldn't their vote count? Well, because they chose to vote in a manner that the state law in Pennsylvania requires you to put the date properly. Oh, if you fail to include a signature, well, the law of Pennsylvania requires you to sign about. You know, you don't have to send it in the mail. You can show up. You can show up. And Pennsylvania, I know, has early voting. You can show up in person. You can show up on election day. You don't have to send it in the mail. But if you choose to send it in the mail, these are the rules you must comply with. Or could it be that all of a sudden you have people that take stock of the difference in election voting counts and realize, we need a couple thousand over here. And in a hurry, you get the signature going and you forgot to. Forgot to date it, forgot to sign it. Why have laws if we're not going to follow them? And again, if you have problems with the law, you have to get the law changed. But you can't say, but I'm not going to follow the law. And guys, this is what I'm talking about. This is not an anomaly, okay? This is not an aberration. I can go and show you, the letters written on Senate letterhead where Hiawatha, Senator Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar complained about voting fraud in their primaries, in Democrat primaries. You know, one of the constitutional rights that we have is to petition our government for redress of grievances. For people to complain about our ability to hold our government accountable in something as fundamental to our constitutional republic as voting is frankly anti-American. But I want you to look at what's happening and navigate it, evaluate it in light of scripture. The foundational component that precedes the lawlessness in places where we need and expect lawfulness is the byproduct of truth falling in the streets. She tried to get on a high horse. That is Commissioner Diane. What's her last name? I have it right here. Marsiglia. She tried to throw in a whole an ode to Roe being overturned. Well, since precedent doesn't mean anything, ma'am, did you take a civics course before you were elected? Because you have a federal judiciary that has nothing to do with the state Supreme Court in your state. I had nothing to do with that. But since you want to point that out, it's not only the Supreme Court's opinion. All the Supreme Court said is you have to follow the law that's been implemented by the state legislature in our election code. And the court reminded you to follow that and saying, I told you before you have to follow the state law. Y'all trying to violate the state law again. I'm telling you now, stop it. And then call you out by name. Montgomery County, Bucks County, Philadelphia County, stop counting illegal ballots. To his credit, Pennsylvania's Democrat governor, Josh Shapiro, he said this, quote, the Department of State had advised counties repeatedly of their duty to segregate challenge provisional ballots and undated ballots in anticipation of a ruling by the court. The court has now ruled on the counting of these ballots specific to November 5th, 2024 election, and I expect all county election officials to adhere to this ruling and all the applicable laws governing our elections. You cannot be a people or a party or a person who says, I'm committed to enfranchising the people of our democracy. And then say, I'm going to vote to make sure that we don't follow the laws in our democracy. Because they only use that term when it's convenient. But thanks be to God, he rules and reigns in the affairs of men, and he intervenes, and he has bestowed mercy upon our nation. Let us use it wisely.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.